Hi, you're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Church. For more information, head to our website, www.lmc.org.au.
Well, hey, LMC, my name's Matt Daly, and I'm the chaplain at Oxley Christian College, and I'm an elder here at LMC. But most of all, I'm a dad, and it is a great honour and pleasure that I call it to be here with you and to be able to speak on Father's Day. But before I do that, I just love to refer just back to that video that we just saw about Samaritan's Purse, and just the way that that video has just shown how things have come full circle, where this young lady received a shoebox where she was a child, and now as an adult, going on with God because somebody chose to give one of these shoeboxes. I've been to Cambodia 4 times now with Samaritan's Purse, and I have seen on the ground there the difference that these shoeboxes really do make. So I would love to encourage you, as a church, as an individual, as a family, to get involved. Please get involved. Please grab a shoebox. At this time, it's never been more important to show a young person in Cambodia that they are loved, that they are cared for, that somebody a nation away, somewhere across the ocean, somewhere different in the world, actually cares enough about them. And why? Because of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is stirring us to make a difference in people's lives. And we know that this is just the starting point. From these shoeboxes come the opportunity for fresh water, medical aid, and more than anything, the opportunity to share the gospel into these communities. So please, will you join with us as a church community, as a school community, as we partner with Samaritan's Purse, with Operation Christmas Child this year again, to provide these shoeboxes into Cambodia and other places that they will also go to. We'd love for you to participate as part of that. So I implore you to do so. But back to my message. Father's Day. Now, I'd love if you would allow me just to focus on speaking particularly to fathers today, to grandparents, to grandfathers, to children. In this, I hope that it will really bring something forward for each and every person, male or female, to really take away today. And of course, there's no such thing as a perfect dad. If there is, please let me know. If you are the perfect dad, I would love to hear from you. If you wouldn't mind sending me an email or calling me, telling me how to be the perfect dad, I'd love to know. This side of heaven, we're not going to be perfect, are we? But that said, we are destined to try and be the best dads that we can be. Of course, there's the perceived dad and there's the real dad. And we can go onto Facebook or other social media and we can see photos like this one. There I am with my 3 beautiful children, smiling, doing great. Looks like the world is perfect. And then there's this photo. The reality, perhaps, of what it took to try and get that photo. Of course, I joke, I don't really strangle my children. But 2 Peter 1, 5 to 8 says this. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness. And to goodness, knowledge. And to knowledge, self-control. And to self-control, perseverance. And to perseverance, godliness. And to godliness, mutual affection. And to mutual affection, love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I think that we can add to that, you'll be ineffective and less than productive as a parent, as a dad. I think you might agree. The truth is, none of us are going to be perfect this side of heaven. But we owe it to our families, to our kids, to be better, to strive for better, to learn and glean from others and their experiences, to gain from God's word, and to look to other examples that are set before us to be the best that we can be. It's our holy calling. Parenting is a job worth doing and worth doing well. Proverbs 4:1 says, "Listen, my sons, to a father's instruction. Pay attention and gain understanding. Dads, if we want our kids to see us as worthy of listening to and a source of gaining understanding, we got to have something to give, yeah? So there's some weight upon our shoulders. But at the same time, what an honor and privilege it really is. You might not think of yourself as the best father that there is, and far less than perfect. But let me tell you, I read a frightening statistic this week, heard a frightening statistic this week in a podcast that I was listening to. And it said that if you say that you love your kids, especially your sons, if you verbally articulate that they know that they are loved because you've said it out loud, you're in the top 4% of dads. The statistic said that only 4% of dads tell their kids, especially their sons, that they love them. I really hope that statistic isn't true, but unfortunately there's part of me that recognizes it probably is. Young people, dads-to-be, can I implore you, as you're the next generation coming, can you reverse that statistic for us, please? Can you make sure that you tell your kids that you love them? It's kind of like that husband and wife having that conversation, and the wife says to the husband, "You don't tell me that you love me anymore." And the husband says, "Well, I told you that I loved you when we got married, and I'll let you know if that changes." Dads, husbands, we need to tell our wives that we love them. We need to tell our kids that we love them on a regular basis. Let's not leave them guessing. Children, Psalm 127 tells us that they are a heritage from the Lord. In other words, they are a blessing from God. They are a gift from God. When one of my kids isn't doing what they should, perhaps during this remote learning period, they're walking around the house when they should be sitting down doing their work. They're tapping incessantly, maybe singing as they're wandering around and annoying their siblings. And I wish that I would be able to say to them, "Come here, O blessing of the Lord, my heritage. Come here, O gift. Let me give you a hug. You are such a blessing from the Lord." I wish that they were the words that always came out of my mouth, right? It's moments like these that we look to the Bible, the Word of God, and we see a warts and all kind of book. And I love, you know, Julia shared this the other week. I love where we can see moments like Jesus' dad, the Son of God, the earthly father of the Son of God. 3 days he left Jesus on his own as they traveled back to their home. 3 days before they realized that they'd actually didn't have Jesus with them. They'd left him behind. Doesn't that just give you great hope that there's hope for you and I? In saying this, I also recognize we can't be perfect, but we shouldn't use that as an excuse. So with your permission, I would like to give three tips on how to be a better dad. And in doing this, I hope that it draws our attention to just how good our heavenly dad is. And that for everyone listening, we can be drawn to that, male or female, old or young. And of course, as I share this, these are great tips for me to remember and use every day as well. And as I do give you these tips, I also recognize that we are living in a time where there's a real fatherless generation. We have young people who are growing up without dad around. That could be that dad is no longer there. Could be that dad is no longer on this earth. But it also could be that while dad is there, they are actually absent, if you know what I mean. You see, we've got fathers who find their treasure in other things. Treasure in their work, their vocation. They can be consumed by this instead of their daddy calling. There are dads who find their treasure in their phone screen rather than in the affections of their children. There are boy dads, dads who can shave, boys who could shave, I should say, is what I like to call them, boys who can shave. 30 is the new 13, is it not? That might hurt, might be a bit close to the bone, but unfortunately it can be so true in so many households. Young men that really still haven't grown up, dads that still haven't really grown up. We're encouraged in Matthew 6 to not lay up our treasures here on earth, but to lay up treasures in heaven. And I agree with this wholeheartedly when it comes to the physical treasures, cars, boats, gold, glory, fame, all these things. We can't take that to the grave, can we? But if we invest into our children, invest into them with our love and discipleship, well, that is for eternity, is it not? So 3 points. 3 points to helping us be a better dad. Dads, 1, be present and proactive. 2 P's, present and proactive. I know that I'm in good company, just like every other dad, that can struggle with this, to be present. I might be there at the dinner table. I might be listening to a story being read to me by one of my children. I might be watching a movie with them on family night. I might be even attending their sport matches. And yet, I can still sometimes be 1,000 miles away. Do you hear what I'm saying? Do you understand what I'm saying? And I'll be honest, I'll be nodding my head sometimes, making it look like I'm engaged and I'm listening and I'm there and I'm present, and yet I'm not hearing a thing that my family is actually saying. I'm too busy planning the next day or looking over something on my phone, maybe Facebook, the news, stock prices, the footy scores, so many distractions. And for some men, we know that online gambling can be an incredible addictive thing that can consume their every extra waking thought and moment. Men, we need to take stock, yeah? We need to learn to switch off and tune in. And then next week, we need to learn and relearn how to do that and to do that again and again and again. To build good habits. Good habits take time. They can be hard work. But we know, right, that anything that's worth something is often hard work. Beyond being present, can I encourage you to be proactive? As parents, it's often far easier and far less time consuming to be reactive instead of proactive. Reactive says, I can't believe you're so addicted to your phone and watching YouTube and being on social media and these sorts of things, for staying up past midnight on these things. You're grounded for a month. Reactive. Proactive says, hey, I recognize and understand how addictive these things can be for a young person or for an older person. Why don't we choose to avoid that addiction and make sure that our phones are put away, our other devices are put away at a certain time at night, and we keep them in the kitchen and we charge them there so that they're out of the bedroom and they're looked after and that they're not a temptation to be on all night. You really would be amazed at how getting the simple things right in our kids' lives can make such a difference to them. If they sleep well, if they eat well, if they get enough time outdoors in the fresh air, you're already halfway to combating half the behavioural problems that you might encounter. And you're setting them up for the rest of their lives. Proactive says, I'm on your side. Proactive says, I'm working for you and with you ahead of time. Reactive can sometimes lead to us being seen as the enemy. What you might hear is, stop that naughty behavior. What a child might hear is, you don't like me. We need to shape our children firmly, but of course, surrounded in love. Ephesians 6:4 says, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Another version says, do not exasperate your children. It's a great challenge, yeah? Our kids need consistency more than anything else. And for consistency, we need to be present and we need to be proactive. Another proactive tip is to always be looking ahead. That's what proactive means, right? To be looking ahead. And sometimes that also means that we need to ask for help. How do I raise a teenager if I've never raised a teenager before? Well, one, of course, we can gain great wisdom from the Word of God. Two, there's great books and resources that we can read or watch. And three, there's plenty of people around us that we can ask and look to and take as examples. By seeking and arming yourself with knowledge, you can love your kids better and put things in place ahead of time. One little proactive thing that we've done with our kids in this time of COVID lockdown, is that we've actually said, okay, we want and we know that our kids in the future are going to need to be outdoors and need attractions to get outdoors more and more. So we invested in a Slackline Australian Ninja Warrior course. So the kids can be out there and they have a lot of fun. It's a lot of laughs. But it took some forethought. Bringing up our kids takes some forethought to think ahead and see what the issues might be and what we can do to be ahead of the curve, as it were. Be proactive. Be interested in their lives. Be interested in your kids. Know what they're watching and listening to, the music that they like. Know your kids' friends' names. Dads, this stuff is important. It's important that we seek to guard their minds and their hearts, amen? My second point is, show your kids what is of value. What has value? We need to show them, to demonstrate to them what has value. Don't just tell your kids what has value. Back it up, show them what has value. Hard work is important, but as with anything, in good balance. And when we work first for the Lord. Colossians 3:23 says, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for human masters. 1 Corinthians 10:31 tells us to do all for the glory of God. I regularly pray that. And God, we pray that you would gain all the glory. God, we do everything, say everything that we do for the glory of you. But how do we demonstrate that and follow that up? How is that outworked in our lives, not just something that is said? We need to show the value of family and demonstrate the value of family by being at the dinner table, by being present, and by carving out key quality time, whether that be through holidays, family nights, one-on-one, daddy-daughter dates, dad-son hangouts, where we spend that time and show that actually family truly matters. And show them to value God. that church isn't an optional extra. Devotional times and prayer are vitally important to us as a family. Every night. Dads, your leadership in these things is vital. Pray with your kids every night. It's your opportunity to speak life, hope, love, and faith and truth into their lives. My third point, forgive and let your kids know that they are forgiven. Two distinct parts there. Forgive, but also make sure your kids know that they are forgiven. Sometimes as dads, less than perfect as we are, we can sometimes hold a grudge. We sometimes, just sometimes, can be stubborn. And in doing so, we can give mixed messages to our kids, yeah? I remember hearing that we can often forgive our kids, but we fail to tell them. We often forgive our kids, but we often fail to tell them. At home, we've got border collies, and you may even hear them grunt and groan because they're here in the room with me right now. We've got these two border collies, Gemma and Jed. And border collies are amazing dogs. They are super intelligent. They're very active, a lot of fun. But without strong leadership, collies can be downright painful. Without the right training, they won't come up to their full potential. But with the right training, they're the best dogs that you will ever own. They're loyal, they're obedient, they're a lot of fun, and there's a lot of love and doggy kisses coming your way. But they're also super sensitive. If you scold a collie for stealing the cat food, well, they might sulk for hours unless they're given some love and affirmation reasonably quickly afterwards. They need to know that they're still loved. And so do our kids. We need to forgive them. And we need to let them know that we've forgiven them. Jesus said about the Romans as they were lining up to crucify him. He said, "Lord, forgive them, for they know not what they do." So let me finish with this last story. As a kid, I made lots of mistakes. I was a very active, some might say hyperactive, kid who really did a lot of act first, think second. And one of these most memorable mistakes for me was one Christmas. And this Christmas, I was with my uncle, who is a CFA fireman. He was the captain of the Warwickmobile Fire Brigade for many years. And I was there in his car, and he was walking towards the car. He'd been out to do an errand, and he was coming back to the car, and I was sitting there. And I reached down, and I took the fire hydrant, his car fire hydrant, from the footwell, and I held it up and out the window, and I pulled the trigger. As I stuck it out the window and pulled that trigger, laughter was upon me, joy was upon me. I thought this was a fantastic little prank and joke. But as I pulled that trigger, I saw in my uncle, he didn't think it was quite as funny. And it was a bit of a shock to my system when not water came out of this fire hydrant, as I expected, but instead my uncle disappeared in a cloud of chemical fog. This white spray came out, and I realized, oops, perhaps this wasn't a smart choice. You see, as a kid, I didn't know the difference between fire hydrants. I didn't know that there was different ones, that there was ones that had water and there were ones that had chemical spray in them. And I didn't realise until my uncle explained to me, as he physically withheld himself and restrained himself from getting overly angry with me, I could tell that he probably wanted to put his arms around my neck. He explained to me that this was a once-off use fire hydrant. Once it had been set off and used, the pressure would be released and it would be useless within a short period of time, and it needed to be fully replaced. And to replace it would cost. It was going to be expensive to get a new one or get it refilled and recharged. What my uncle said to me was that, and I could see that there was genuine sorrow in his eyes as he said that. He said, "Matt, you know how yesterday at Christmas lunch I gave you that $50? That $50 present? I'm going to have to ask for that back to pay for the new fire hydrant." Being only 10 years old, I was crushed. I was disappointed. $50 was huge, and I'd spent that money 10 times over already. So now, losing it, there was devastation. I bawled. I was super upset. And if I'm honest with you, I think some hatred had actually seeped into my heart towards my uncle for taking that from me. But you know what? 24 hours later, my uncle taught me the most memorable lesson about grace that I've ever learned. He paid my debt. He gave me that $50 back. He taught me in a way that I never knew the power of that statement: "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." For the first time, not only had I heard about grace, I felt what grace was. A payment made on my behalf, despite me not being worthy of it. "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." This was the first saying of Jesus on the cross, and it's traditionally called the word of forgiveness. It's Jesus' prayer for forgiveness to his dad, his father, intercessing on behalf of the Roman soldiers who were crucifying him and others who were involved in his crucifixion, which effectively is us. It was for us that he died. Yeah. What an inspirational moment for all dads and for all mankind. If Jesus can forgive and publicly forgive in that moment, we can too. Not only that, what a challenge it is also to accept the love and the grace and forgiveness of Jesus Christ. Wow. That's what I want to leave you with this Father's Day. Perhaps there's someone, a child or other, that you need to forgive. Perhaps you need to receive and understand grace and forgiveness for yourself. So to finish up, Dad, if you only hear one thing out of everything that I've said today, I hope that you hear this. Dad's, the type of leadership that we've been called to is about longevity and consistency, faithfulness. So, 2 Peter 1:5-7, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness, knowledge, and to knowledge, self-control, and to self-control, perseverance, and to perseverance, godliness, and to godliness, mutual affection, and to mutual affection, love. Let me pray for you today. Father God, we take great joy in the fact that we have a good, good Father. What an exciting thing it is to speak on Father's Day and to really draw everything back to you, the ultimate dad, the one that we can look to for wisdom, The one that we can recognize that in our imperfections that you can make things good. That even as dads that it can be struggle town so many times, that we can continue to come back. We can ask our kids for forgiveness when we make mistakes, and we can forgive them when they make mistakes. And that ultimately comes from the demonstration that you made through your Son, Jesus Christ. That through you, we have access to the Father, and that we can come to you with all our mess and time again, be restored, be forgiven, and know your love, to know that we are loved. Father God, I just pray a blessing over every family right now. Father, I pray for good leadership through fathers in every household. I pray, God, that you would just restore relationships where relationships need to be restored. I pray, God, that you would just bring hope into situations where there seems to be hopelessness. I pray, God, that there would be just an inputting of incredible love and satisfaction into every family and home today, this coming week. We give you praise this day, and we thank you for the opportunity that we've had to be in your presence, to worship you and to honor you as our Heavenly Father. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Thanks for having me, church. Have a great Father's Day.